The Eurozone crisis continues, with Spain recently paying the second highest interest rate to support its debt since the founding of the euro currency, with the prospect that Madrid will need an emergency cash infusion soon to avoid crashing. The trouble in Spain comes as the Greek economy, the focus of multiple previous bailout and austerity plans, shrinking 6.9% last year, with a further contraction of 6.7% predicted for 2012. While the so-called Troika, made up of the European Union, the International Monetary Fund, and the European Central Bank, failed to veer away from their austerity policies that have weakened many of the continent's major economies and increased the unemployment rate, militant anti-austerity street protests in Spain, Greece, and other nations speak to widespread and growing opposition to the Eurozone's economic course. Resistance to Europe's austerity measures have been given political expression in Greece, where Syriza, the Greek coalition of the Radical Left Party, now stands as the major opposition force to a newly elected conservative-led government in the Greek parliament. Refusing to meet with representatives of the Troika, Syriza's leader, Alexis Tsipras, declared that no political party should meet with officials of the three institutions, as they've only come to Greece to enforce their catastrophic recipes that have led the country to the cliff's edge. Your reporter spoke with Joanne Landy, co-director of the U.S.-based Campaign for Peace and Democracy, who just returned from a fact-finding trip to Greece, and discusses what lessons U.S. progressives can learn from the Greek political movements resisting austerity.
Unemployment is 25%, and for youth, it's 50%. So you can imagine what that does to a society. As one person told us, society is dying. As far as the privatization or the sell-off of assets, that's very much in contention now. And that's one of the chief things that Tsipras and Syriza are raising. They're protesting the sale of these public assets, and it's not by any means yet a done deal. And it's interesting, the way the government is trying to meet the demands of the Troika, since they're afraid to cut pensions and salaries anymore, is by raising money through the privatization sales. But that's being challenged by Syriza, and I think the whole scenario is now an open question of what's going to happen next.
Joanne, tell us about the Syriza Party, its rise in recent elections, as well as its program. What has attracted such a large amount of new support for the party and a rejection of the two major parties?
Well, they have had a meteoric ascent. They went from getting typically 3-4% of the vote to getting 27% of the vote in the June 16th or June 17th elections. The reason that they got this incredible burst of support was because they were the only party that was saying no to the memorandum and at the same time had roots in the emerging social movements that have taken place across Greece for the last few years. And what people repeatedly told us was that Syriza had credibility because it had been there when the students were out on strike, when the occupation was going on in the squares, when workers were on strike. Syriza was always there. And they combined the participation in these movements with parliamentary representation of the demands of those movements. And I think it's that combination that was really very exciting for me and Tom to see. We certainly wish we could have something like that in this country, where you would have not anti-politics of activists, but a complementarity between movements in the streets and parliamentary representation.
From the point of view of having a pragmatic program that can go a long way to fixing the enormous economic depression in Greece, what is Syriza saying in terms of how they could address, how they can viably address the nightmare economics in Greece?
That's, of course, the $64 million billion-dollar question, and we frankly didn't get complete answers to that question. We know that they would nationalize the banks, that they would take control of some of the industries, that they would roll back the cuts in pensions, the firings of public employees, and so forth. But how would they do that, and what relationship would they have to Europe? I don't know, and I tried to find out. We tried to find out when we were there. We understand that they have economists and political leaders meeting to discuss this. I mean, you have to understand, this is a party with 15,000 members, which is very small, that's been catapulted into this position of potential power and responsibility. But what's encouraging about them is that they're willing to go against the stream. They're willing to reject the memorandum and the troika that's being imposed upon them and to simultaneously do the best they can at home and also, and I think this is key, to reach out for a new kind of Europe. They know that over the long run they can't really solve these problems in Greece alone, that you can't, so to speak, have socialism in one country. So they've, you know, sent people around to different countries of Europe. They right now have called for the current government to stop talks with the Troika and to convene a European summit for a different way to respond to austerity throughout Europe.
What are the lessons that you found could be useful for progressive movements here in the United States from the activists in the resistance movement to austerity in Greece, if you could put it in a nutshell?
We really have to break out of this two-party system in which neither one of them is structurally capable of representing the movement. And although we have many more electoral obstacles than countries in Europe, which generally have proportional representation, I don't think we can let those obstacles stand in our way. And although we're not going to create a party overnight, Tom Harrison wrote an article in the for New Politics that's online talking about how progressives and the left need to make a declaration of independence from the Democratic Party. And I think that's the lesson that I would take away from this, the immediate lesson, is not that we can create a party, but that people who understand that this is a dead end say so, and then buttress their arguments with the exciting first steps that are being taken in Greece.
That was Joanne Landy, co-director of the U.S.-based Campaign for Peace and Democracy. Find links to more analysis of the Eurozone crisis and resistance movements on our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.